Well, I had a brief introduction, and then we can dive into what I sent the email about. You know, Psalms 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart.
That's right.
What I shared out there was has been a desire of my heart for a long time. So I'm so excited that we're going to have this meeting, and hopefully it will start a process. We'll have more such meetings, and good things will come from it.
Yeah.
Amen. I think that verse also applies on, you know, on a more mundane level, that God sometimes just does things to encourage you. And I feel like God's been doing that to me this week.
Amen.
My son Art is a senior in college, looking for a job, interviewing now. And this week he had several interviews, but he's most excited because he's studying accounting. And he got interviews scheduled with Ernst & Young and Deloitte, which are two of the big firms. And that was exciting.
Wow.
He sent me one of those texts just as I was coming home tonight. And then another thing that happened, I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but to go to a ball game for your favorite team, and they clinch the playoffs on the last play of the game. I got to do that on Tuesday night.
Wow.
I'll tell you what, I was entertaining clients, so I got to sit in better seats than I would normally sit in. I was pretty close to home plate, and it was a religious experience.
No.
Oh my gosh! So that's like one of my maybe top five Braves moments of all time in terms of me being there in person. So that's it. I think God just does that sometimes to encourage me. It's been a real stressful week at work. I've had a lot going on, but God is just doing great things.
Amen.
Turn to Hebrews 10. I was supposed to say that a while back, and I forgot. Hebrews 10. As I said in the email, I wanted y'all to come to class prepared to share your favorite scripture about being close to God. And we probably can't go around the room and have everybody share, but whoever's the most eager here in a minute or two will get to share. And that's the theme of our class tonight, is drawing near to God. And in Hebrews 10 and verse 22, the Hebrew writer says that. He says very simply, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Yeah. You know, and you can read the whole passage about Jesus opening the way so that we can draw near to God. And that's what he's urging us to do, to draw near to God. And that's what I want to talk about here tonight. I want us to be encouraged to have a closer relationship with God. That's really the only thing I want to accomplish, is us to come out of here wanting to have a closer relationship with God.
Yeah.
I think if we all left here tonight with that determination, we would be tremendously blessed. You know, great things could happen in our lives, in our hearts, in our relationships, in our families, in the church, if just each of us drew nearer to God than we are today. Wherever we are, if we just made that determination, God would do great things. Amen. So, who would like to share? What's your favorite verse in the Bible about that? Alan.
Okay. John 14, verse 23. Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home with him.
Amen.
And, you know, it's like God reciprocates. God appreciates, and he wants to be with the people who will obey him and love him. Like God is motivated to be with me if I obey.
Amen. Wow. Yeah. Amen. Joseph?
I have James 4, verse 7, and beginning of 8. To submit yourself then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. I think this impacted me right before I got baptized. Feel a lot of guilt about my sin and feel like I was unworthy of God ever being close to God. I remember reading this scripture and it inspired me so much that if I come near to God, he will come near to me, and I always remember that even 20 years ago.
Amen.
Harry? One of my favorite scriptures is Isaiah 30, verse 20. It says, although the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, your teachers will be hidden no more. Your own eyes will see them. Whether you turn to the right or the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in.
Wow.
So I love that because it lets me know that no matter what I'm going through, God's always going to be there letting me know, you know, which way is the right way, and I'll always be taken care of.
Amen. Amen. How about the other side? Todd.
Yes, definitely in Psalm 62. Mm-hmm. Says, my soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. And just helps me realize that, you know, my soul finds rest not in my finances, not in any physical rest or sleep, not in how my kids are doing. It finds rest in God alone. And nothing can shake that or change that. And that's where I get true comfort and connection to God.
Amen.
Okay. Okay.
Go.
Johnny. John chapter 31. To the Jews who have believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And in light of what Mike talked about on Sunday, I had a good talk with my wife last night, and I came to the realization for myself that I have become very fluent in the culture of going to church. Being a churchgoer, and I kind of lost my first love, and that has caused me to be lukewarm for some time. And I came to the realization that, you know, this is the verse that really was the light bulb for me when I studied the Bible, because I'm the type of person who always wants to search for the truth. And it wasn't until I started obeying Jesus and doing the things that Jesus did that I finally realized what the truth was. And so I always come back to it. I constantly have to come back to the scripture to kind of remember that the truth that I'm always looking for is in obeying Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Psalm 27, actually all of Psalm 27, I mean, it starts off saying, "The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear?" But it really connected with me when it says in verse 4, "One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life."
Amen.
You know, so that's what really connected with me, just being in God's presence all the time to draw me in.
Yeah.
Amen.
Psalm 73, 25 to 28. "Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire beside you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Those who are far from you will perish. You destroy all who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, it is good to be near God. Yeah. I have made the servant Lord my refuge. I will tell of all your deeds." To me, you know, when it becomes routine, when it becomes just legalism about coming to church, I remind myself that it's really not about just coming to church, and it's not about going to heaven either. It's about being with God, because, you know, it's all about God having a relationship.
Amen. Amen. Stephen.
John 15:15. Says, "I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command, love each other." And he chose us, and he calls us friends.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's cool. That's cool. See?
Ephesians 6:10. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against evil, against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted in the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to these, to all these, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, with the word of God, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert. Always keep on praying for all the saints.
Amen.
I can't say anymore. That's it.
He had a favorite chapter.
Proverbs 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. That's my biggest one because a lot of times I'm a new disciple and I tend to do things my own without understanding it. And so I got to take trust in it.
Amen.
Yeah, for me, it's Matthew 28. It's the last part of the Great Commission. And it reads, verse 20, it reads, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. It just teaches me to obey God, and just knowing that God is with me even to the very end, no matter how bad my situation is, no matter how difficult my day is, that God is with me always. Yeah.
Amen. Always.
Ecclesiastes 10:4, it simply says, if a ruler's anger rises up against you, don't leave your post, calmness and lay great errors to rest. And I just base that on a daily basis. There's so many things happen to you during the day, and if you react real quickly, you tend to do the wrong thing or react the wrong way. So I just kind of remind myself of that constantly during the day to make sure everything goes well when stuff do come up.
Amen.
Dennis?
Mine is Ecclesiastes 12, verse 12. Of making many books, there is no end, and much study, world readers about it. Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or bad. And for me, this doesn't matter what's going on in life, whether good or bad, that the most important thing is to obey God and keep his commandments.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Yes, sir.
Romans 5:6 says, you see, at just the right time, when you were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And it blows my mind when I think about the scripture, how I didn't give God a second thought. And I was like, me even sin. And even in that, he was still working out my salvation. And he was that gracious to me. So when I read this, it encouraged my faith.
Amen.
Amen. My scripture is out of Psalm 42. And it starts, as a deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, God. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I come and appear before God? And this psalm is about, the psalmist is being, like, he's in distress, he's depressed, he's discouraged because they're talking against God, saying, where is God? After saying that through their lives, and it's causing him great discomfort. And sometimes I feel that way. Like the people at coworkers or other people I associate with that aren't disciples. And it's kind of like they're like, a lot of things are going on and things can be really deceptive. But this scripture really encouraged me to just to long after God, and that's all that matters. So that's what.
Amen. Amen. I
got to
do one more.
This is probably familiar to everybody. Psalm 23.
Amen.
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Amen. 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 Forever. I like that. Okay. Well, that's good. Sorry we couldn't do more. we started slow, and then as usual, you know, the juices are flowing. When I first became a disciple, and for many years, my relationship with God was primarily built on discipline. You know, it was primarily built on being consistent. You know, I tried to read the Bible every day. I tried to pray every day. You know, when I was in school, I tried to schedule in, you know, here's the time I'm going to do it. And that was a good thing. That was a good way to start. And if you're a young Christian, you know, that's a good thing to do. It's just, you know, be consistent, be disciplined about it, spend time in prayer and the Bible. I think it helped me lay a great foundation for my life.
Sure.
I learned a lot of things reading the Bible consistently. Mm-hmm. It built convictions for me. God answered many prayers I prayed. You know, I prayed for a wife, and He
Come on.
Answered that prayer in a great way, you know, and other things like that. And so I prayed, you know, but later in life, I developed a deeper relationship with God.
Yeah.
More of an emotional connection with God. Turn to Romans chapter 8. What helped me do that, and which is what I want to talk about for the rest of the class, and share some of my favorite scriptures. I think we only actually only one person shared one of the scriptures I'm going to share, so I escaped almost unscathed. What helped me a lot several years ago was realizing, and some of you have already said this, realizing how much God wants a relationship with me.
Yeah.
You know, how much He wants a relationship with me and how much He does to have that. You know, I can pursue one with Him, and I can do the things to try to have a relationship with God, and that's good. And some of the verses we talked about sort of encouraged us in that direction. But what I want to talk about is just how much God wants to be close to us.
Amen.
Yeah. Let that really encourage us, inspire us, you know, to make us want to respond to that. Romans 8, very familiar passage, 28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who were called according to His purpose. For those He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He also justified. Those He justified, He also glorified. Here, I'm going to start here kind of on the cosmic level, okay? God set everything up. Cosmically speaking, the universe, history, you know, when you know, your life, He set it all up so you can have a relationship with Him.
That's awesome, man.
You know, it says here, He foreknew us. I mean, He knew about us before we were. I mean, He sort of planned it out in advance. He's like, okay, you know, that guy's going to live in the 20th and 21st century, and you know, he knew us in advance.
Amen.
And it says He predestined us. You know, that's a big word. You can go to theological libraries and read whole books on predestination, but you know, in one sense, all it means is it's our destiny. You know, it's our destiny to have a relationship with God. He set that up so that would happen in our lives. He set up, you know, sort of everything, history and as well as events in our lives. It's our destiny. That's the outcome. That's where He wanted our lives to end up.
Right.
You know, it's not an accident. And you know, when it says He works all things together for good, and we use that scripture a lot to talk about how trials in our life will work for good, that's true. But in context here, it has an even more cosmic meaning that God has set up everything, you know, everything in history, everything, you know, in the creation, both before we were born, during our lives, and after our lives, when He's going to glorify us and take us to heaven. You know, He set it all up to work together for our good, so that He can have a relationship with us. You know, that's how much He wants a relationship with us. That it's the whole, you know, cosmic thing is set up for that purpose. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
So I know some of y'all like cosmic things, and some of y'all are going, what is he talking about? I'll turn to Acts 17. And we're going to look at the same thing sort of on a more human level now. Another familiar passage. But we're going to bring it down to kind of where we live. Acts 17, 26 and 27. Talking about God, he says, he made from one man every nation of mankind to live in all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God, in the hope that they might feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us. So here God, it's Paul speaking, he says that God set things up so that the exact time and place that we would live.
Wow.
So that, you know, that we would be living in America. Not all of us are Americans, but many of us are, and some of us from beyond are here now. You know, we would live in America at this time, you know, in our lives. So for what reason? So that we might seek God.
Right, exactly.
And then he set that up. When we would live, who would live next to, you know, who might invite us to church. You know, he set up all these things so that we could have a relationship with him. And it says he's near, you know. It's like, he's just, you know, he's nearby saying, oh man, I set it all up. Now the time is right. I hope they seek a relationship with me.
Yeah.
You know, he's kind of set it all up, you know. Like sometimes, I don't know, if you think about when you're dating, when you're interested in somebody, you kind of like try to set it up so you bump into them.
Come on out.
You know, so you cross their path. And that's sort of what God did here. He's right. Kind of set it up.
Yeah.
You know, it's not an accident. He wants us to find him.
Yeah.
You know, we have some teens back there, and we have some teens in the room who are our disciples. We have some who aren't. They're probably not that excited about being here, but that's okay. But I wanted to just remind them that God has done this for them too.
Right.
Yeah. So they're here. They're in this church. Their parents are in this church, so they would have this chance.
Right.
If they want it. God is there saying, I'm nearby.
Right.
You know, if you want to reach out, you can have a relationship with me.
Amen.
You know, and he did that for all of us at different times in our lives. Some of us, it was many years ago. Some of us recently. Some of us, again, it hasn't happened yet. But we have that opportunity.
Amen.
We have that opportunity because God has set it up for us.
Right.
The exact time, the exact place where we could hear his word, where we could come to faith, where we could repent. And that's a cool thing, and that's all because he wants a relationship with us.
Yeah.
You know, he's after us. He's pursuing us.
Right.
He's not passive. It's not all up to us. In fact, it's mostly him, and then we just have to go, okay, and, you know, and reach out and take it because he's nearby, right?
Yeah.
Amen. Ephesians 1. Another familiar passage. That paints an amazing picture of what God does to have a relationship with us. Ephesians 1, verse 4. Says, he chose us in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined, there's that word again, us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins, our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace which he lavished upon us. Okay, this talks about sort of in more, what do you want to call it, flowery language than the first verse I led about how God set it all up, right? The cosmic stuff again. He set it all up. He predestined it before the foundation of the world. He chose us. You know, that's a cool thing to think. You know, eons ago, God, you know, looked out and said, you know, Ray, I want you. You know, he chose you, you know, that long ago, you know, or, you know, he chose us. Moves, he chose you. You know, it's not long ago, God looked forward and said, I want him, you know, in my family.
Amen.
He says here, I want to adopt you into my family.
That's awesome.
You know, that's a cool thing. That's how much God wants us.
Yeah.
And then it says, you know, that word predestined again, it's our destiny. You know, it's not our density. McFly, you know, that's what he said, you know, in the malt shop to his future wife, you're my density. No, he meant my destiny. George was a little dense, you know, he thought about density, but no, destiny, right? It's our destiny. We're destined for that, to be adopted as sons, for Him to bless us. It says He lavished grace on us.
Wow.
You know, you think about, you know, that's what we do with people we love. You know, we lavish things on them. We give them gifts. If we're parents, we do that with our children, right? I mean, Christmas is the biggest day of the year, the shopping season, because we're all buying stuff that we're going to lavish on our children. If, you know, when we're, you know, pursuing a romantic relationship, that's what we do. You know, we give gifts. You know, take them out to dinner. You know, do nice things, you know. Hopefully, as married people, we're still doing that, right? Giving them good stuff, right? That's what God does here. You know, that's what we do. You know, He wants us to be happy in our relationship with Him.
Right.
Amen.
You know, He wants us to be rejoicing, for us to be feel blessed. That's what it talks about. So that's the attitude God has. That's the kind of things He does in our relationship with Him. Turn to Revelation 3. Mike actually stole one of my scriptures on Sunday.
Oh, no.
But I'm going to actually read a part of it he didn't really read. You know, as Mike talked about on Sunday, the church at Laodicea was lukewarm in their relationship with God. And so, I broke it. I guess that's why we have a backup. That one turned off. Jesus came knocking at the door, right? Because they needed to repent. They needed to repent. But then he looked down in verse 20. He says, "I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him and he with me." You know, and this is a cool thing. You know, some of us, when doing a class like this, you might be feeling, my relationship with God is kind of lukewarm, like Sean shared over here. But what this is telling us is, you know, Jesus still wants to come in and eat with us.
Amen.
You know, and he's knocking at the door to do that. You know, he still wants it. Even if we had it and let it slip a little bit, he wants it back. He wants it back. You know, he's you haven't hurt his feelings, so that you know he's gone. He wants to come back and eat with you.
Amen.
You know, and you think about that. You know, we like having meals with people that we love, that we want to be around. You know, parties and going out to dinner, or having people over for dinner. You know, or holiday meals, and that's what he's talking about. I want to come in and eat with you. You know, I want to have a feast with you. You know, a great banquet, like the Bible says. You know, that's what Jesus wants to do. He's, you know, when can we have lunch? When can we do lunch? That's what Jesus is saying. You know, he's knocking at the door, like the Paul McCartney tune. Y'all, any of y'all old enough to know who Paul McCartney is? You know, he talked about knock, knock, knocking at the door and ringing the bell. You know, that's what Jesus is doing. Right? Amen. Okay, turn to John 14. And Alan stole this one, but we're going to read it again. Verse 23. Jesus said, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him."
Wow.
Okay, so this is actually going a little beyond having a meal. You know, Jesus doesn't just want to do lunch. He actually wants to move in.
Right.
You know, and we think about that, you know, when I've talked about romantic relationships a couple of times. You know, those of us who've been married back in the day, or those of us who aren't married, if we get interested in somebody, you know, that's where, if the relationship grows, that's where you want it to head.
Right?
Yeah. You want it to head to the point where it's marriage and where you actually make a home together.
Right.
So y'all can be together all the time. Amen. I love being together all the time with my wife.
Amen.
You know, a weekend ago, all of our, well, only one kid is left in the house, but she went to the teen retreat and we had a whole weekend. So we went to the Georgia game and we just hung out together a lot. It was great. And that's what Jesus is saying here, that he and God want to do.
Amen.
They want to come and live in our house with us. You know, they just want to hang out. You know, be part of the family. Be there with you every day. That's what he wants to do. You know, that's amazing. You know, it's not like, God, please let me in your house. No, he's saying, I want to come and be in your house. That's what it says here. That's a cool thing to me. You know, what is the song? The steadfast love of the Lord. What does that song say? Never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new when? Every morning. See, God wants to be there every morning. Every morning He wants to be there with His mercy, with His steadfast love. That's where He wants to be. That's where Jesus wants to be, with us every morning, encouraging us, helping us, you know, guiding us. Who would turn that down? Who would? I'm not going to turn that down. That's a cool thing. That's a cool thing. Okay, turn back to Ephesians. Chapter 3. Starting verse 14. Very familiar passage again. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of His glory He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. You know, he's talking here about us coming to really know the full extent of God's love for us, of Christ's love for us. You know, now we need strength just to be able to grasp it, you know, just to be able to get a handle on it. But what I wanted to zero in on there is verse 17. It says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Amen. Jesus doesn't just want to have a meal with us. He doesn't just want to live in our house. He wants to live in our heart. That's what it says. He wants to dwell in our hearts. You know, and that's what the Bible talks about, the Holy Spirit being poured into our hearts. You know, that we have, you know, it's the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of God in our hearts, in our lives, you know, in our minds, inside us, in our consciousness, whatever you want to say. Now, I'm going from cosmic to the opposite, you know, whatever that is. You know, that's what it says here. He wants to live in our hearts. He wants to be right there with us, you know, in our thoughts, in our feelings, you know, in our struggles, in our joys, in our, you know, our victories. You know, he wants to be right there. You know, in that sort of inner, whatever you want to call it, inner life, of the things we think about, the things we, you know, worry about, or the things we focus on. He wants to be right in there with us. You know, that's the ultimate relationship. You know, that's the ultimate relationship. You can't do that with anybody else. You know, I love my wife, and I hold her in my heart, but she can't live in there. Okay. You know, or vice versa. It doesn't work like that. We're really close and we talk a lot. But she can't dwell in my heart, in my thoughts, you know, in my mind, you know, like Jesus can. Right. Now, I can share those things with her and that. But that's what Jesus is saying. That's how close he wants to be with us. Mm-hmm. You know, that's kind of mind-boggling to me. That's mind-boggling. That's, you know, that's beyond all else. And, you know, this is something you can cultivate. You can actually, you know, sort of work on. There was a book I read. Oh, shoot, now I can't remember the name of it. But there's this monk who lived in the 16th century, I think, named Brother Lawrence. And he the whole book was how he just practices it. Was that the name? Practice the presence of God. He just sort of worked on this. He just worked on believing God was with him there until it became more and more and more and more real to him. And I think that's, you know, that's what we have to do, is just recognize that God is there. He's near, like the verses we've looked at say. And you know, we can believe that. We can see it. We can experience it more and more. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, any thoughts, any responses to what we've looked at? Y'all got to share one, I got to share five or six verses. No? Y'all just want to... Zach?
No, I think it's powerful when you think about the concept of having God with you at all times, because it helps you focus more on not so much the legality of what I need to do and what I don't need to do, but how much you are appreciated, how much He loves you. You know, it's kind of like your children. You know, we can't be with them everywhere that they are, but we want to be there. We want to, you know, go through the struggles with them. We want to be on the mountaintop with them. And that's how God feels about us.
Amen. Amen.
Is this really cool, just how God is merciful, that He is just like, you know, our Father is to us, you know, to God, you know, just how He wants us to be happy. He wants us, He wants to, you know, be with us all the time. He wants to lavish His love on us in spite of our, you know, problems or our sins or His merciful. And even if He sees us go through things, you know, He sympathizes with us and He wants to, you know, make us happy no matter what. And that's just encouraging, but it's something that we can't take for granted, because it's easy, because God loves us so much that He's putting up with us so much, but sometimes we go beyond and take it for granted, and, you know, and we can't do that because there's a certain limit that He probably is not going to continue that. So.
Well, I was going to share exactly the same scripture you started out with. Those were two of my favorite ones. And it just reminded me that, yes, God does want a relationship, and He did put us where we're supposed to be. This past week, I had a really rough week, both physically and physically. And I called four brothers, and God put them in my life at this time so that whenever I was struggling, I could reach out to them, and they prayed for me. And things were turning out a lot better.
Amen. 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 George.
The Acts 17:27, one of the first scriptures that I remember as a Christian, because, you know, God had taken me all the way from Arizona to Atlanta, break up with Beyonce, all this drama that happened in order for me to become a disciple. And it's just a great, you know, example, like you said, and as a parent today, how we want to set up our kids to win, we love them. That if God loves us, He wants to set each and every one of us up. And we don't probably get to think very hard, just look back at what God has done in each of our lives to bring us to this point, you know, and just, you know, draw faith and encouragement from that, man, so many near misses, so many near whatever that have happened in our lives, that we're all still here tonight, and it's evidence in itself that God wants a relationship with us.
Amen. Amen. Perry?
Yeah, I think this is kind of jump on that family. In the last week you read about how Paul was praying for the Ephesian church to just grasp it, just to grasp how much they're loved and how much they've been pursued. And everything you've been talking about all night has been reminding me that even when we're in our worst position, God is still pursuing us. And to be that loved and that adored and seen as being that important, I mean, I'm personally drawn to people that believe in me. And I think that there's not anybody that I can say, after, you know, believing what the scriptures say, no one believes in me more. No one has pursued me more. No one has loved me more. Nobody can protect me more, provide better for me. It's like the ultimate, like there's no better place to go, no better place to be. And that's kind of where it comes to ahead for me. It's like, you know, like Peter said, where else would I go? The Lord's life. It's like, there's nowhere else to go.
Amen. Robert?
In 1 John 4 it says, and we have come to know that we believe the love that God has for us. God's love, and the one who remains in love remains in God, and then God remains in Him. In this, love is perfected in us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, for we are as He is in the world. In this world, there is no fear in love. Instead, perfect love drives out fear, because fear involves punishment, so that one who fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because He first loved us. There's no fear in judgment when we love God. And that's something that I've been trying to work on, is loving God, to not fear, you know, hell, but to love God so much that when it is the time of God for me, that I'm ready and I love God. And there's no doubt in my mind that.
Amen. Ryan.
I know I spoke before, but the fact that not only God desires to love us, but that He planned to have a relationship with us from before the beginning, I mean, that's a very humbling thought. Because I know the difference between me, you know, stumbling upon something and finding it really fascinating versus me seeing something from a distance that I desire and me making plans to have it. Well, it's a completely different, you know, it's a completely different mindset. And that's just a humbling thought.
Amen. Amen. Steve?
That also brings to mind, I just remember the scripture that Gary Robertson once shared in Hebrews 6:17, about the certainty of God's promise, and says, because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of His purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, He confirmed it with an oath. God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie. I mean, that is so, that's something that you can hang your hat on. You can't beat that, you know? So.
Amen. Amen. Travis?
Building on what John said, about my, you know, thinking how, like, the feeling I get when, like, I stumble upon something, so, oh, this is cool. And then when I've been playing out for so long, I finally get that, and then I think we all know that just satisfaction you have, like, it's just, it's really awesome. And that's just a little glimpse at what God feels like when when we enter His family, that whatever we feel when our life goal or whatever goal is achieved, that's like nothing compared to what He feels. Because He's been playing it for, He said, eons. So the anticipation is, and finally, you know, it's just humbling to see how excited He is for me. And that, you know, it's kind of silly to say, well, I'll give Him some nothing. And obviously, He's put all this effort into it. Why wouldn't I put all my
effort into it? Amen. Amen. I appreciate all the sharing. I hope this was encouraging tonight.
Amen.
To just realize how much God wants to have a relationship with us.
That's right.
And I hope it inspires us to want to draw near to Him.
Yes.
Let's close out with a prayer.
Amen.
Dear God, we are just amazed at how much You love us, God.
Yes.
And how much You seek us, and how much You shower gifts on us. That You want to be close to us, Father, that You want to be with us every day in our home and our hearts. And Father, we are so grateful for that, grateful that that's what You want. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.